Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Today in the Visionary brand, we're going to pick up where we left off on the last podcast. In case you didn't get a chance to listen to it, we're doing a two-part series from my recently released book, my labor of love over 18 months, The Visionary Brand, the success formula behind the world's most visionary brands. That is out this week, February 8th, proud to say. And it's available both in ebook form as well as hard copy, and that will be available across all book distribution channels as well as bookstores. So for me, it's one that is quite an accomplishment and a passion to finally put pen to paper and have this book published through Liquid Mind Press. So just to give you a little bit of an insight on the book, I did it last week, but wanted to kind of reiterate some of the content inside of the book and pick up where we left off last week on the DNA of a visionary brand. Inside of the visionary brand, again, my passion in wanting to put this pen to paper, as I call it, was built around the experiences that I personally had as an entrepreneur and starting with a penny and making a dollar, you know, truly an entrepreneur. So I have that bloodline in me, successfully selling it after 10 years to a VC company and then moving on to these iconic brands and having the experience, have been inside the four walls of these visionary brands, these generational brands and leaders that have this vision of growing these brands and positioning them in categories and being top and premium in each of the categories they choose to venture into. And so the sections that I talk about, again, I did a little bit more extensive outline last week in the podcast, but just wanted to give you a little bit overview again of what you'll see inside of the visionary brand. And we're going to talk about this over the next few podcasts here. But the first we're talking about is the brand itself, the evolution, the loyalty, the pillars of a great brand, the visionary brand, and what it stands for. That will be the first series we'll talk about, and we're going to have part two today. And then the second piece you'll see in the book is what I call the vision paradox. And this is what many companies face on a day-to-day basis. Those inside of the company that have a skill set that's put in the wrong position. So this is really disruptive to a company and one where you want to make sure that those that have a vision are put in the proper place. And also I talk about those that have the vision, in particular strategies of how these brands continue to evolve and have the foresight. And one of those strategies I talk about is this breakaway product pipeline, this revolution versus recreating this foresight. And then I talk about the specific elements behind this formula of a visionary brand. You know, what does this look like? And there are five sections I have here, the creative engine, which talks about being market-driving versus a market-driven brand, being disruptive, being different. And then I actually give you case studies of brands that I've been with me personally as well as brands I work with Liquid Mind. So I find that to be very insightful to give you an actual case study with brands that you're very familiar with. And having been inside the four walls, working with those brands, understanding decisions that are made and why they're made, this is really one where you talk about that creative engine and how to stay ahead of your competition. You need to talk about leapfrogging. I'm talking about breakaway disruptive strategies and how you evolve as a brand and put those strategies and processes in place. The other one we talk about is the positioning. And a lot of people will talk about positioning itself, but I talk about what not to do in your positioning in addition to how to position successfully. You know, what are the bloodlines of the brand? Not selling your soul to the devil, which means don't sell out for short-term gain for long-term damage. You know, that's what I talk about in selling your soul and being the best, having a loyalty loop in place. And what is that strategy that's evolved over time that most people have adopted and those that do are very successful? Strategic competitiveness, you know, how to promote a lifestyle. And then I talk about this omnichannel strategy that everybody talks about, but I give you a little bit different perspective on what that looks like and how to implement it. I talk about the power triad, the product team, the sales team, the marketing team, how these three functional areas inside of the group build and grow and successfully position your company for success in the future. The culture matrix. Not a lot of people talk about culture. You know, that is an integral part of a brand being a brand itself, because it's not only reflective inside your company, it energizes your team, it builds passion, but it does the same thing with your community out in the marketplace. And then I get into the product itself, the product vision. You know, how do you innovate, not imitating the competitors? You create breakaway products. How do you do that? And what do you do with a breakaway product? And also the drawdown strategy that's been deployed successfully. I give you case studies on that and how that works and how other brands have done it. And leading through extinction. Many times it's important for a brand to extinct a product, even at its height of popularity, aka the iPhone and different generations of the iPhone. And the brand is the product. Take risks. So all of these things are integral components to a visionary brand being successful, and things that I've dealt with firsthand. The ecosystem, the fuel behind a brand, the fuel effectively is the marketing of the brand. You can create a great product, but unless you have the fuel to put in the engine and having a marketing strategy for the success of the company and the brand, you're not going to be successful. So personalization, inspiration through aspiration, brand ambassadors. We talk about the user experience as another chapter, the new age, disruptive revolution, and visionary legacies. And then we also talk about the artists themselves inside of these brands. And the most famous one that I can think of, again, is and I put it in the book, is when Steve Jobs hired these poets, these creators. The ones that allowed you to understand what that customer journey was and how to make this process simple, simple sophistication. And then the courage to want to carry on, to be an entrepreneur. What's your destiny? Live your dream and be courageous and take risks. So all of these components inside the visionary brand are pieces of the puzzle that allow you to be a visionary brand. So now going back to the part two, so hopefully you enjoy the content behind the book, because I found it to be very fascinating, all of the different levels and components of what make up a visionary brand, a visionary brand. There's a reason that I called the book The Visionary Brand, because I really didn't find the visionary brand out there. Everybody had a missing piece in that formula. So if you've got several of those pieces in place and you're missing a few, you're not alone. You're actually in great company with some very famous brands I'm sure you're very familiar with. So these are areas and elements of that formula for success, and it's all in the Visionary Brand book that's available now on February 8th and across all distribution channels. Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, you name it, all of them have it. So hopefully you enjoy the content in the book, and we're going to talk about that over the next few months here. So the next part in the series of the Visionary Brand is, again, the DNA of the visionary brand. This is part two. Content is taken from the book, The Visionary Brand, the success formula behind the world's most visionary brands. So it's many principles make up the genetics, what I call the genetics of the visionary brand's DNA. You know, but I say, however, there's several elements that ensure the formula is a right mix for successfully navigating the barriers all brands face throughout their lives. And I say a brand is a living, breathing thing. A brand is not a product. A brand is its culture. A brand is the product behind that culture. And it's a living, breathing thing that you have to nurture on a day-to-day basis. Just ask brands that make a great product but don't do great marketing. You may have a brand like Mizuno is a great example. They got great products, but the marketing has not kept up with the brand innovation. So there's brands like that. Then there's brands that have all engines clicking at the same time. You've got the Apples, Adidas. You've got also Nikes of the world, where these brands are clicking on all cylinders. So there's many principles that make up the genetics of a visionary brand and the DNA of what it is all about and what the brand is. So we talked about a couple last week, and today we're going to talk about a couple more, two additional items that we discuss in the book, which are brand loyalty and what I call these foundational pillars that make up a brand. And these foundational pillars are integral, are critical to the success of a brand, And I call them pillars because they can't change. They have to be integrated into the vision of your brand and be a part of your core brand itself. Not only when times are good, but also when times are bad. And you'll see that in the book where I talk about, hey, the pandemic was obviously a pivot point for brands, but brands that are successful don't change their vision or their foundational principles based on the outside environment. They pivot and adapt, but don't change their principles. So that's a critical component to understanding why a brand or a company becomes a brand and why they last for generations. They can weather the storm. They can go through the storm. And I talk about one of the stories I had, which was a real life story with Quiksilver back in the day, and this is pre-pandemic many, many years ago, but it's a great story for those to understand that while you're going through a storm, understand who you're trying to support and who has made you a brand. And so when you look back on Quiksilver, when they were going through a severe economic downturn, and certainly Quiksilver was being impacted by it, but also they understood their independent retailers back in the day, pre-D2C, pre-e-com, were also suffering way more than they were. So one of the critical components was the lifeblood of these retailers was cash flow. So Quiksilver extended terms. It found ways to work and help their independent retailers through this storm. They understood, and the vision of Bob McKnight was that they understood that if they were able to weather this storm, that this would be brand equity that's built into Quiksilver that will be remembered throughout the life of this brand through those independent retailers, that they were there when they needed them the most. So when you look at something or a company like Quiksilver or any of these generational brands, there's always a moment in time when you're pivoting that you're not looking at yourself selfishly, but you're looking at those that made you a brand. Now, that could be a customer, that could be a retailer, it could be anybody or your community, but understand that's a part of this loyalty of retailers, those that have built you as a brand, those that continue to want to engage with your lifestyle, with your brand, and continue to grow with you and build your brand equity going forward. And this is part of that first foundation we talk about, is this loyalty. You know, brand loyalty is an earned right. It's not something that's purchased. You know, it's something that's built through long-term authentication to brand principles and foundations that you don't change for short-term gain, for a long-term loss. So those brands that think they are deceiving their customer, their community, through going through a channel that they shouldn't be in. And when we talk about, and I mention this because if you're a premium brand on the best level within a retailer and you go to a retailer at a lower price point in a channel you shouldn't be in, eventually your customers will find out. And bad news spreads 250 times faster than good news. And in this environment, it may spread even faster and much quicker. So you have to be extremely careful, because brand loyalty is built over a long period of time, in most instances, generations. But this can go away overnight if you lose sight of what your vision is and you move away from what your principles are as a company and as a brand. So it's an earned right. It's something that's It is not purchased. So being able to retain, engage, and build a meaningful relationship with your community is the holy grail of a brand's long-term viability and allows you to be generational. When you look at long-term value of your customers, it's all built off of loyalty. It's not a one-time purchase. When we talk about this, and we talk about it in depth in the visionary brand, we talk about this new purchase cycle. Before marketing, it was all pre-purchase decision-making and then eventually purchase, and you would spit them out through the back end of your funnel, and you'd move on to the next customer. But now brand loyalty and this loyalty curve has changed how you engage with customers. So we talk about that in the book. And brand loyalty is built off of not the purchase itself, it's built off of post-purchase engagement where you provide value beyond product. So these generational brands sustained and built their equity over generations, and they're few and far between. You know, however, I will say there's one characteristic each of these has in common, and it's consistently maintained their core brand values. And that is staying true to who made you in your authentication and your pillars of the brand itself. So customers today, as we know, let's face it, they got many choices, very little time. The attention span is shorter and shorter week after week. So you want to make sure that as you engage with your customer, you're providing something to them they may not otherwise had. And in a great example, and I put this in the book as well, is that when you look at, let's just say, a running brand, I sell shoes, I sell apparel, I sell accessories. Well, what else do you do that post-purchase will provide value to your customer? And I want everybody to think about this because it's a significant opportunity for those that haven't done it yet, is that those run brands that can show or tell or give to that runner a new technique or a new way or a new form or something that allows them to become a better runner without selling product, all of a sudden builds loyalty because they want to come back and find out information on how that makes them a better sprinter, it makes them a better marathoner, a better 10K, 5K, whatever it happens to be. But the intent here is, regardless whether you run football, baseball, basketball, providing value to those customers now that you're D2C and e-com that you couldn't do in retail before is an opportunity for you to drive revenue. So again, customers have many choices, very little time, and very short attention spans. And unfortunately, what we see is this is not going to improve anytime soon and likely is going to get much worse. So a challenge that non-visionary companies face and a new reality visionary brands embrace is this short attention span. They understand it. They know their customer. They know what they need in order to improve either their lifestyle or the particular sport they're in or whatever it happens to be to make their lifestyle better or to make their lifestyle and or day-to-day easier. They know if they're genuine and authentic with their community, providing value beyond selling products and engaging throughout the entire purchase and following up post-purchase through the loyalty loop strategy, this process will succeed regardless of economic conditions. And I use that as an example because those that pivoted, those that found an opportunity to engage with their customers, build long-term value, and as a result, long-term value through revenue growth and continual repeat purchases were very successful. So stay true to your principles on this loyalty side. Build this solid foundation where the brand pillars are clearly understood by everybody inside the company, and marketing can convey what your brand stands for to your community. And engaging with your customer are all critical strategies required to survive and thrive in this environment we're in today. So that loyalty is a big piece of a visionary brand, and it's one that becomes somewhat intangible to many people, and it's really driven through marketing strategy. But the tangible side of it becomes long-term customer value and also the ability for you to sell more to less customers and continue to drive gross margin and continue to build your brand equity over a long period of time. The second one we talk about are pillars. You know, what are pillars? And I like to use visuals in the book. So I've got this, if you can imagine, this building with a roof, a foundation, and four pillars. And when you look at building these pillars for a brand, what do these look like? So at the very top, or the roof, let's say, of this building is what we say this overriding principle of a vision. You know, the first and foremost, a brand has to have a vision of what you stand for and also a vision in order to start building each one of these pillars and being able to what I call fill in the blanks. I do this with the brands I work with at Liquid Mind all the time. And those that have lost their way, those that are new companies, old companies, those that want to reposition themselves, like what Puma did. Puma went through the cycle on this, and they're one of the few that have come out the back end to build a valuable brand that was embraced by its community, and had a heritage to follow. So vision is the overriding, let's just say, the sun over the building that actually drives the brand itself. And the vision can adapt, it can pivot, but it can't change. So that's an overriding principle for a brand. And then there's the brand itself. Sits over top of these four pillars we talk about. You know, what does the brand stand for? You've got this overriding vision of what you want to accomplish and what you want the brand to do, but then what is the brand? What are you achieving? What are you wanting to achieve? How are you going to be different? So defining the brand itself and defining it from a principal's perspective is a critical component to being able to fill in these pillars underneath and on top of your foundation. And then there's the pillars themselves. So you've got the brand, you've got the vision, you've got the brand itself, the makeup of the foundation. Then you've got pillar one. Pillar one is the product. You know, what the brand produces, the performance attributes that defines its positioning in the marketplace. So the product itself is a brother or a sister to the positioning pillar, but they work in conjunction with one another to be able to define the products that come out of this brand that match the vision of where the brand is and where it wants to go. The second pillar is culture, and this is a critical pillar. This is one that many books, whatever you want to talk about, seems to not either talk about or not even care about, is culture itself. In all great consumer product brands, those that have a culture inside of their four walls, it's how the brand interacts internally and externally. I don't want you to forget about that. It's not just the internal culture. The internal culture bleeds to the outside. Think of all the people that talk about these great visionary brands. And this could be Google, it could be Nike, it could be Tesla, it could be whatever it is. But it's just this culture that you've defined and how you want this brand to interact and look from the inside and the outside. You know, people that think about the culture and they want to be a part of that culture, this is really what builds your teams. Now, going through this pandemic, I can tell you the brands that are challenged with finding people to join their team are the brands that haven't had a defined culture and or a brand vision that those people outside of the four walls can gravitate to. So the understanding is that, hey, I want to be a part of that culture because they built this loyal community that people understand what that brand stands for, and they provide value beyond product. They provide a lifestyle that I want to engage with, and then a brand I want to be a part of. It's part of that culture. These are the brands where people are lining outside their front door in order to be a part of that culture. So it's a critical component to having a solid foundation. The third pillar is the positioning of the brand and the product. So where the brand positions its products for sale, location, 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 premium or commodity, you have to be very careful in regards to where you put your product and when you put your product in a particular channel of distribution, so there's not a disconnect between your vision, the brand, the product, and inevitably drives the culture behind the company itself. So when you're talking about positioning, most people think, well, that's where I rack it up on the shelf, but it's actually goes beyond that. You want to make sure that your positioning is also driven by your culture and your product, but it's also part of the vision of the company. So when people join your company, a lot of people will say, well, what is the culture of your company? And a lot of it is driven by the positioning of your product, either your premium, your good, better, best, whatever it happens to be. But it's a critical pillar. And you'll see as I go through these pillars, they all kind of lean off of one another and collectively build this visionary brand. And then pillar four is, interestingly enough, what I call the creators. And not a lot of people think about this, but it's the people inside of the company that create this great culture, that they create this great product that people will embrace, that people will want to be a part of. They're the creators. They build the infrastructure for the brand's current and future generations, the eyes and ears of what the brand stands for, and they execute that in the real world. They're the ones that create the product. They're the ones that build the product. They're the ones that continue to build that culture inside of the company of where the company is going and being able to execute on that vision that the leader has for the company. So they're a critical component to this solid foundation of a brand. And then, so when we talk about that, the foundation of the brand, one that's built off of rock, not sand. I say that in the book, and I say that many times, says it gives you a visual analogy of the difference between somebody that can stand in the storms or someone that crumbles at every passing storm that comes through and or changes and pivots every time they see a storm coming, as opposed to adapting, as opposed to pivoting. So the execution is the foundation, you'll see, of these pillars and of this building. The ability for these visionary brands to collectively come together in unison as one team. And I also use the analogy of an orchestra, everybody having a part in playing this beautiful concerto. And you can imagine that if somebody who does not know how to play an instrument, being part of this orchestra, the disruption that it creates. And it's probably one of the greatest visuals that I can have when you talk about the execution. So the execution is a key ingredient to the overall formula of a visionary brand. So again, when you look at this building, this brand and what it is and what it stands for, vision's at the top. The brand itself and defining who you are is actually the overriding principle on the pillars. Then the pillars themselves are product, culture, positioning, and creators. And then the foundation is the execution of all of these pillars in the brand and the vision itself, built off this rock-solid foundation that doesn't crumble over every storm that comes through. So each pillar is critical to ensuring a brand's longevity, its ability to stay true to the vision, and a foundation built on solid rock, not sand, to withstand the forces of nature and the world. These are what make a visionary brand. Start tearing down these pillars and your foundation collapses. Brand equity deteriorates, brand loyalty evaporates, brand positioning changes, and your future destiny is no longer in your hands. So I'll say again, build your foundation on solid rock. Stay true to your vision. Pivot when necessary, but whatever your path you choose, you must not stray from these guiding foundational brand principles that have made you successful in the past and are going to continue to do so in the future. I want to thank you for joining us on the Visionary Chronicles today. I very much appreciate your time. As I had mentioned, we're going to be doing a series of podcasts on the new book that I just released, The Visionary Brand, The Success Formula Behind the World's Most Visionary Brands. Very proud to have that book finally released. It's been 18 months of a labor of love. So I also wanted to let you know that if you contact me at info@liquidmindsight.com, that's info at liquidmind, and it's SITE.com, or Brian, BRYAN, at Brian Smeltzer, SMELTZER.com. Be happy to send you over a courtesy copy of the ebook. Appreciate you being a listener, with the hopes that you'll provide a review, which is always appreciated. Also wanted to let you know the book will be released on February 8th across all distribution channels on a global scale. So that includes Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. I could keep going, but I just wanted to let you know the book is now officially released. And we'll be doing a series of podcasts on the book, and hopefully you'll find it as useful as it was me having written this book over that 12-month time frame and being able to put in there the chapters that we'll talk about in this podcast. Again, thanks for all your support. I really appreciate it.